From WYPR, I'm Jamila Kremble. We're on the record. How do you design programming in order to attract a diverse audience? We talk with two new proprietors about re-envisioning and running performance spaces in Baltimore and how they plan to keep their venue safe for all audiences to enjoy. Emil Joseph Weeks reveals plans for the soon-to-open Rituals, and Tekla Tesnow, new owner of Remington's Auto Bar, discusses the power of art to bring people together.
Bringing in the arts to have people express themselves artistically, whether it's through music or performance spaces, strengthens the community and it shines a light for the city itself. It becomes a haven for people who might not have any other place to go.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm WYPR digital producer Jamila Kremple, and for Sheila Cast, and we're On the Record. Despite all of the streaming entertainment services available today, there are still many of us who prefer to leave the comfort of our homes and experience art and live music in a venue with others. There's nothing like being in a dark, crowded space, singing, rapping, or screaming the lyrics of a song alongside enthusiastic fans, or laughing till it hurts during a comedian's stand-up routine, or blushing at a burlesque show. You can have all of these experiences in Baltimore, including at the two venues my guests are about to take the reins of this summer. Tekla Tesnow is the new owner of the Auto Bar, a performance space that's been on Howard Street in Remington for over 20 years. Tekla, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Emil Joseph Weeks, owner of Rituals, a bar and music and arts venue that's opening later this summer on North Avenue in the Station North Arts District. Emil Joseph, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So you both have worked as bartenders for a long time, and I'm interested in how you transitioned to owning your business. Tekla, you worked worked at the Auto Bar for over 20 years, correct?
That's right.
And tell me about the steps that led to you taking over.
Well, basically, they were baby steps incrementally over the past 20 plus years. Went from bartender to head bartender to bar manager, and now to owner. The current owner wanted to retire, and the natural progression for me was, while lengthy in time, fairly easy, honestly. I've already been involved in the minutiae and the behind the scenes of running the club, so it's hopefully going to be a seamless transition.
And what kind of financial responsibility, paperwork, all of those things does owning a venue require?
I'm sure it's massive.
Sure.
I'm basically going to be in debt forever.
Oh, wow.
But I'm really happy to take it on. I really am. For me, there was no other choice. I kept seeing developer after developer coming in, and what they wanted to do was monumental changes that weren't in keeping with the current programming that we have at Auto Bar now. So it was really disheartening to see other people's ideas of what could be potentially in that space. So I figured I really had to do something in order to make the legacy of the Auto Bar continue in its current form. So, and if that meant taking on loads of debt to do that, I was happy to do it and very happy to do it. So, but it's a monumental undertaking, and I'm incredibly encouraged because I have such a great team and tremendous amount of support from the neighborhood and the community at large.
Emil Joseph, did you always have ambitions of owning your own venue?
To be honest, I did not. It came out of nowhere. I have been a bartender for about almost 6 years now. And before that, I was a server in Hamden, so I really got my start there. And was bar managing at IW's Table for about a year, and then left there and got a phone call about 2 months ago now. It was 11 a.m. on a Friday, and was approached about taking over this venue, which was, I was completely flabbergasted, to be honest with you. I was really blown away by the opportunity.
On the other end of that phone call, why you? How did you feel about sort of being chosen for this opportunity? Were you scared? Sort of walk us through those kind of emotions and what you were thinking.
Yeah, I was definitely apprehensive. I was scared because it is a lot of responsibility. And also, as an owner, your vision is reflected into the space you're taking over, right? Like in terms of booking who you want to book, the decor, obviously, the staff, because they represent you. So there was immediately like so much that was racing through my head, and had a lot of anxieties, and I asked to have a bit of time to consider. And after a day, it was like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
A day.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime situation, you know. And
sure. Rituals is opening in what was the Wind Up Space mm-hmm. on North Avenue, which was also a live venue and bar. Mm-hmm. And I've seen Rituals referred to as a DIY space. Mm-hmm. Break that down for listeners, and what can they expect to see at Rituals when it opens?
Much like the Auto Bar, the Wind Up really focused on representing the community local to Baltimore, on having touring artists come through and allowing for local artists to show their artwork. And I wanted to kind of carry that torch as well and focus on the community, and also focus on having a space that welcomes people of color and queer people, because it's important, especially kind of with the political landscape that we're in, a lot of the things that we're working towards as people. I want to ensure that Rituals will be a place that welcomes a lot of the same people who went to the Wind Up as well, because I think it's important to honor that history, but also to show where hopefully we're all going.
And what's behind the name Rituals?
I wanted to have a name that was amorphous, mysterious, but that also people could bring their own meaning to it. And I think that some people have a perception of that word that is highly religious, and so they add that weight to it. But there are other people who are just like, yeah, like we have all sorts of rituals that we practice every day that we don't think about, you know. And so I'm really fascinated by that, the application of meaning to something, and how one person's perception of that meaning is different from someone else's.
I see. And Tekla, what's the history of the Auto Bar's name?
The Auto Bar is actually named after the current, soon-to-be-former owner's kitty cat. His name was Otto, and he was around before the Auto Bar was actually a venue. And Mike, the current owner, decided that Otto is a great name for his cat and an even greater name for the venue. And Otto, the kitty, used to live at our former location down on Davis Street on the third floor apartment that was located up there. But since Otto's passing last year, you know, I'm definitely not changing the name.
That was Tekla Tesnow, new owner of the Auto Bar in Remington. This is On the Record on WYPR. We're also joined with Emil Joseph Weeks, owner of Rituals, a venue opening this summer on North Avenue. We're talking about their plans for expanding programming and audiences. Tekla, Auto Bar has music, comedy shows, dance parties, a variety of entertainment. Is there any new programming that you'd like to add now that you call the shots?
Oh my goodness, yes. I'm really hoping to expand our repertoire even. It is huge. We've done, you name it, we've done it, whether it was book burnings for peace or an opera, we've done burlesque, comedy shows, you name it, we've done it. But one of the things that I love about Baltimore is its gritty quirk, and I really want to infuse that goofy, haphazard, random artistic performance art expression into all the nooks and crannies of the bar, as well as quality music, quality programming of all shades.
So it's summer, and mm-hmm. everyone's talking about youth programming and, you know, finding things for the youth in the city to do. And I remember coming in to the city when I was a young person to all ages shows, and, you know, that was like a big thing for me. Do you think that there, in either of your spaces, there's a way to incorporate more programming for youth in the city?
I'm a mom, so I, you know, am always open for new ideas and avenues for my kids to explore. And I know the city is in dire straits for that sort of programming as well. One of the things I'm really hoping to do is doing a kids programming show during the afternoon. So it's a TV show, maybe for public access, maybe for live streaming, where we invite members of the community, musicians and artists, and they bring their kids, and we open it to the public as well. So a lot of the programming that I'm working to help the Auto Bar and help the community at large, which is really close to my heart, definitely includes something for kids, parents, and everyone in Baltimore. the creative doors are wide open for me, and I'm really looking forward to the next step for the venue.
And Emil Joseph, what are your thoughts on that?
To be honest, I haven't thought too much on it because I've had my eyes.
You've had a couple weeks.
But I mean, yeah, I definitely have thought about how to utilize the Why Not lot. It being right next door to me, whatever happens there, I mean, it intersects with me directly. And I have some ideas about having outdoor festivals there to really get the community involved. I've been talking with a number of people, Tekla being one of them, about how to have more of a community feel in Baltimore. I think that there's feelings of great division right now, and I feel like those walls are starting to break, and it's important to explore how to continue thinking about community building and respecting the people who live in these neighborhoods and the artists who live in these neighborhoods, and getting them involved in a way that really establishes interconnectivity. And so in that way, I've been thinking about, like, you know, all ages being involved, having something in the Why Not lot that really allows people to come there and just be there and experience that part of the neighborhood.
I think it's a tremendous boon for any neighborhood if you can have very strong ties within the community. Mm-hmm. And bringing in the arts and anything available to have people express themselves artistically, whether it's through music or performance spaces, strengthens the community and it shines a light, if you will, into for the city itself. It becomes a haven for people who might not have any other place to go. So not just for adults, but for kids as well.
There are a number of performance spaces in the city. I'm sure you're both familiar with a lot of them. What will distinguish Rituals from the other ones in the city?
I think for me, I've been thinking a lot about, with taking on this new venture, my history in the city with the DIY scene, with the art scene, and all the people that I've met who've all influenced me, who've really kind of, I don't want to say reared, but who've helped me become the person that I am. And honoring those relationships by kind of showing how I've grown as a person, as an artist, as someone who's concerned with community politics and community artists, that's how I think I will kind of show that part of the world is different than another part of the world, because a lot of the things that are happening in Station North right now are a little bit different than other parts of the city.
How so?
I think, you know, gentrification is on everyone's minds right now. We see how Hamden has been developed, and we see how even Remington has been developed in the past 4 years. And I think that Station North is on the precipice of that as well. And so it's really on everyone's minds. I heard lots of comments like, oh, well, the old Y&M's going to be a CVS now. Like, the people were very, very scared. They were quite trepidatious as to what would happen to that space. And since my announcement, people have stopped me in the streets and been like, I'm so happy that space is not going to be turning into something else. You know, I'm so happy that you were going to continue this legacy, because we have a great responsibility as venue owners to continue showing local artists, really offering a space for people to be themselves, to enjoy themselves, and to make memories that people can carry on, you know.
That's Emil Joseph Weeks, owner of Rituals, a venue for art and music opening this summer in the Station North Arts District on North Avenue and Charles Street. And also with us is Tekla Tesnow, owner of the Auto Bar, a performance space in Remington. After the break, we'll ask about what it takes to make everyone feel safe when attending a venue and programming for diverse audiences. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm WYPR digital producer Jamila Krempel in for Sheila Cast. We're talking today about recent changes in two performance spaces in Baltimore. With us is Emil Joseph Weeks, new owner of Rituals, a venue for art and music in the Station North Arts District. Also here is Tekla Tesnow, new owner of the Auto Bar, a performance space in Remington. A couple of years ago, local artist Sheila Gaskins wrote a poem called Art Apartheid that generated a conversation about the racial segregation and inequality in Baltimore's art communities. Finding venues that consistently attract diverse audiences is somewhat rare in Baltimore. Tekla, how do you assess the Auto Bar's efforts and success with this?
We've actually tried really hard to have a diverse as possible base. We book hip-hop shows, we book poetry readings, we book, you name it, we book it. So we don't have any sort of censorship or, as far as I'm aware of, like, everyone is welcome at the Auto Bar. Whatever flag you're flying, raise it high, and you're obviously welcome there. So we've definitely tried to instill the programming with the sense that the Auto Bar is for everyone, absolutely.
Are you seeing various types of people coming in on the same night? Because let's say you have the hip-hop show on Tuesday night and you might see a certain demographic, and then you have something else on Thursday, and then you might see a different demographic.
You know, can I just say yes, that is the case for our downstairs venue. We might have, for the hip-hop show, we'll have people coming in for that particular show or to see their friend who's performing that night. And then the very next night have something completely different, a completely different crowd. However, the upstairs bar in our lounge, any given night, it is this tremendously positive, diverse crowd of regulars. So you might have somebody who's 21 years old and gay and black, and then you have somebody sitting right next to them that's straight and white and a 50-year-old woman. So it really is this incredible cross-section of the city demographic in general.
And Emil, what's going to be your strategy to attract those diverse audiences?
I think for me, I'm going to be open strictly as a bar certain parts of the week to be a hangout spot as well. I think that it's important to have safe spaces for people of all identities to just be in. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes just walking down the street and being inundated with frustrations, aggressions, micro and macro, it just can sometimes just completely ruin your day.
Yeah.
And having a space where you can simply be and just have fun and enjoy a drink or and maybe just talk with someone is important. But of course, as a venue, I want to have programming that is diverse in terms of, I mean, we've talked about burlesque today.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my good friends were actually performing at the Auto Bar years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago, Trixie Little and Gigi Holiday. And I think that it's important to revisit that for the city. I mean, that was a different vibe in Baltimore. It was really fun, like going to the Club Charles and there being like trapeze artists hanging out everywhere. You know, it was pretty wild. And I think everyone is kind of looking back to those days to try to find some inspiration for the future. And I am as well. And so having programming with hip hop artists, you know, I'm right next door to The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And The Crown has become, I would say, a cultural hub of having a lot of queer and POC artists there. They really feel represented in that space. And I want to help them feel welcome as well in rituals.
You mentioned safe spaces, and there's a growing call for music venues to do more to protect patrons
mm-hmm.
from harassment.
Yes, absolutely.
Musician and author Shauna Potter was interviewed on this show recently about her book, Making Spaces Safer, and it gives community spaces guidance on how to create safe spaces for marginalized people.
Mm-hmm.
Tekla, what are your thoughts on that, and have you personally had to deal with a visitor that was physically or verbally harassing another patron or even staff member, and how did you deal with that?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, when you go into a bar situation, and any bar situation, or even on the street for that matter, there's a constant, as a woman or as any person generally, there's a constant influx of comments, and sometimes it's a little more than commenting. There might be grabbing and things like that. So this has been going on for years and years and years and years, but I'm so glad that it's come to the forefront of our cultural, you know, this idea that, well, this isn't necessarily something that we have to put up with anymore. And I love Shauna. I've had her in the bar and consulting us on several different occasions in order to in real time enact these policies and put them into place so that, one, our staff is prepared for being very victim-centric and being able to accommodate anyone that does not feel safe and how to help them feel safe in the space, as well as creating a barrier between them and the person that is potentially harassing them in ways that where there's conflict abatement, where there's tactical disengagement, you know, things of that nature where the victim feels safe, the person that's being harassed feels safe and accommodated. You know, in a bar situation, sometimes things get a little bit loosey-goosey, but the fact that you can make these spaces safe for people to attend so they don't have to worry about having a bad time in any capacity. If you're coming into our bar, within our walls, you will have a good time and you will be safe, and we are there to manage that for you.
So do you think that you'll have sort of a hard line rule? Because I've seen in some spaces, like, the rules are posted, know this, know this, know this, mm-hmm. you know, and if you do, you're out. Do you think that you'll have more of a, I hate to say, hard line stance, but sort of how are you planning to signal to people coming in, you know, what the boundaries are, what the expectations are as far as conduct?
No, I don't think that having, like, rules on the wall is necessary, but I think that having properly trained staff and also certainly communicating amongst each other, staff members communicating amongst each other about certain things that may happen, nonverbal signals, you know, when there's a situation happening in a space are very helpful to, you know, like, get stuff figured out very quickly.
Can I just jump in and add something to what Joseph
sure.
was saying? Honestly, one of the greatest things that has come out of this is in social media, people are very much aware, and there's been a voice to these actions given that I don't think that was there like many years ago, to the point now where there's even cue words that a patron can say to a bartender, and the bartender, without alerting anyone, can interject themselves into a situation that might potentially go south. So our bartenders, and I'm sure yours are as well, trained so that if they see some situation potentially becoming a little bit tense or a little bit maybe too forward, to check in with the parties that are there.
That was Tekla Tesnow, new owner of the Auto Bar in Remington. We're also joined by Emil Joseph Weeks, owner of Rituals, a venue on North Avenue opening this summer. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krempel. We're talking about how to make venues safer for all patrons. Emil Joseph, you identify as a Black queer man. What has been your personal experience with venues in Baltimore?
Pretty much very positive in terms of, you know, going to certain bars in my early 20s and really enjoying myself and also going to shows. But I think my experience has been in some situations varied. And what I mean by that is if you're a person of color or a queer person being in any space, sometimes, you know, again, micro and macroaggressions may appear. And having to deal with that is always very, very, I mean, it's oppressive. Knowing people in the industry over the years has helped me get through those tough times, you know, and I'm very appreciative of that. I think that Baltimore City is a city that has a lot of resources for people of color and for queer persons. There are really strong queer communities in Baltimore, and I've benefited from those people, and I'm very thankful for the relationships that I've built from them as well. I have felt very welcome over the years. I've actually never had anyone get in my face, which I'm appreciative of, because I do know people who have had that happen to them, unfortunately. And queer bashings still happen. I can get sassy at times when people try to, you know, say things to me. So I definitely kind of squash stuff when it kind of happens to me. But for the most part, yeah, I've felt very welcome.
And Tekla, do you think that your position now, you're a female owner of this venue, do you think that that will influence sort of the culture or help to build on the culture that was already established and send a message or have any impact at all on the dynamics between staff and patrons or people who come into your space?
I hope so. I really do. Unfortunately, I think that it shouldn't necessarily have to be
sure.
Something that we even think about. at the same time, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. It brings an awareness to what an issue it is that we don't have that many female-owned businesses. We don't have that many queer-owned businesses or that many Black-owned businesses. So all of these groups are minorities. So yes, anything that we can do to bring an awareness to it and help bolster those numbers is a good thing.
Well, thank you so much to both of you for joining us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you so much.
That's Emile Joseph Weeks, owner of Rituals, a venue for art and music opening this summer in the Station North Arts District, and Tekla Tesnow, owner of The Auto Bar, a performance space in Remington. We have more information about upcoming events for both places on the record page at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm digital producer Jamila Krempel, and for Sheila Cast, thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.